1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we're going to be this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will start by committing our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give thanks for the day. Thank you that we can come, read your word, and know that it is the living word, the word of God, the one that applies to us just as much today as it did when it was first penned. For you are a God that never changes. And I pray that, Lord, you would encourage us as we stop, consider these things this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we began to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we saw the gospel that Paul declared to those at Colossae, the same gospel that he preached to everyone. He didn't just have a different one for them, but it was the same one. And we read in verses 1 to 4 this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And this is the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel or the good news that saves a soul when someone believes this gospel. And God sees that faith in them. He does that miraculous work of salvation within their soul. And there's no doubt that the resurrection is a major part of this gospel. There have been plenty of people who were so-called messiahs or gods of some sort. And what makes Jesus different to everyone else is the fact that he rose from the dead. Could you imagine how sad it would be if the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was that Christ died for our sins and he was buried and it ended there? Wouldn't that be sad? If that was the gospel of the Lord Jesus, well then it would make him no different to many other people who declared to be of God or to be a Messiah of some sort. And there certainly wouldn't be a gospel, not a gospel that saves us. And it's the resurrection that caused such an uproar in those early days of preaching the Lord Jesus. When Paul and the other disciples would go around and preach the gospel, many could accept that he died for them, but when they spoke about the resurrection, that's when people reacted in a negative way often. Some mocked, some got angry, some just left, while others believed. It was the resurrection that stirred people up in one way or another. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has been an old debate that's been going on for a long time. Did he really rise from the dead? Or did his disciples steal his body and just say that he had risen from the dead? Did he rise or not? Does it actually matter if he rose from the dead? Well, we see from 1 Corinthians 15 that it does matter. It matters a lot. Everything changes if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And Paul spells this out very clearly as he refutes the notion that many were spreading in that day that there is no resurrection at all. Some were saying that no one has, no one will, and no one can rise from the dead. And I briefly mentioned that last week, how that the key verse to this whole chapter is verse 12, where he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Some were denying that there is a resurrection. No one rises from the dead. Once you're dead, you stay dead and no one's ever going to arise. And so in the addressing of this false teaching, Paul begins to remind the believers at Corinth the gospel that he preached unto them, the gospel that they heard, that they believed and received, that gospel that saved them, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen of many witnesses. And he mentions the names of those, of some who saw Him, and testifies how there were hundreds of others that saw Him in that resurrected state. And from this point on, Paul looks at what we would call the domino effect of terrible consequences if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. And we're going to look at predominantly this morning, that domino effect of terrible consequences if what they are saying or were saying, some there at Corinth, was true and Jesus never actually rose from the dead, or there was no resurrection of the dead. And so we're going to be looking at these verses that Paul and how Paul addresses this morning. And so the main heading really is the terrible consequences if there is no resurrection. What Paul first of all does is say that if there is no resurrection of the dead, where no one rises, no one has, no one will, well then that means that Jesus didn't rise either. He says that in verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Paul's reminding them of the importance of the resurrection. He says if no one rises from the dead, well, that means that Jesus hasn't risen from the dead either. Now the question is, have you ever considered what life would be like if Jesus never did rise from the dead? Do you think it would affect your daily life if it was proven that he never rose from the dead? Would it affect your faith? You know, some people say that it doesn't even matter if he rose from the dead. That doesn't matter. The fact is, he came and he died for our sins. That's all that matters. And so they're not too caught up. They're happy to say that he never really died. And so, yes, he came back to life, but he wasn't really dead. Others say that he didn't rise from the dead. And it doesn't matter. But does it matter? Well, Paul goes on to show us how it has major consequences if he never rose from the dead. The first thing is, if Christ never rose from the dead, he says that our faith is vain. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And so if Christ didn't rise from the dead, both our faith and also the preaching of it is vain. There is no purpose to it. And so what does our faith and the preaching of it consist of? Well, you know, that could take years, really, when you consider all the doctrines. But, you know, the key ones are that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we believe. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means that he wasn't the Son of God. He was just a man. And he wasn't who he said he was. It means that he was a liar. And he was just another deluded man who thought he was somebody that he wasn't. It has a big effect. Because he said that he was the Son of God. He said that he would die and rise again. And if he didn't, then he's a liar. And he isn't the Son of God. Now that has a big effect on us. Also, we believe that he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. That he was that sinless sacrifice to appease the wrath of a holy God. But if he didn't rise from the dead, what that means is he was a sinner who bore his own sin, and he is still being punished for it this very moment if he didn't rise from the dead. And so we are still in our sins. You know, we believe that because of his death as that perfect sacrifice that we are reconciled to God. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means we are not reconciled to God. We are still under the wrath of Almighty God, and we are still his enemies. There hasn't been a sinless sacrifice made for us. Now that affects us. We're still under the wrath of God. You know, we believe that we have a promised home in heaven. Jesus said that he will go and prepare a place for us and come again one day. But if he is still in the grave and he never rose from the dead, he's not preparing anything for us. And he is not coming back. And there is no heaven waiting for us. Now that has a major effect as well. And these are just some of the many things that the disciples believed and preached. And these are just some of the things that we believe and preach as well. Yet if Christ didn't rise, well then these are just cunningly devised fables. And our faith is vain and empty. And it changes everything when you think of it like that. And so the resurrection of Christ is important. It is vitally important, we see here. But Paul doesn't leave it there. He goes on to explain a few other things. It also means that Paul is a false teacher. He says there in verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." And so if the dead be not raised and Christ didn't rise from the dead, that is the domino effect of this argument. That means that the New Testament is really just a load of rubbish. We may as well get our Bibles from Matthew and go right to Revelation and tear it out and throw it in the bin, because it means absolutely nothing, because those disciples who God, we believe, was used to write these epistles and gospels were only really false preachers. They propagated a lie because they are saying that they saw Jesus resurrected, yet it wasn't true, if so be that the dead rise not. They were either deluded or they were too proud to admit that they were wrong about the Lord Jesus, and so they stole his body, they told a lie that they had seen him, and they were even willing to die terrible deaths for that lie, I might add. That's how proud and deluded they really were. If so be that the dead rise not. And so if Christ didn't rise, then that has a major effect on us. All that we have heard, all that we have been trusting in, all that we read, all that we find comfort in, is just a bunch of made-up stories. Don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't matter if Jesus rose from the dead or not. It destroys so much of what we believe. And it also means that we're still in our sin, Paul goes on to say. Verse 16 and 17, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." You know, there's some special verses that talk about the cleansing that we can receive in Christ. You know, 1 John 1:9, "If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a beautiful verse. You know, where John says in his gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." What a treasure that verse is. What a wonderful promise. Yet, the reality is, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, well then that is not true. They were merely the words of John, one of the false witnesses. Someone that was saying they saw Jesus risen from the dead when it wasn't the reality. And so that means today we are still bearing our sins upon us. Every sinful action and thought is still upon us, and we are still in our sins and we are under the wrath of God. Now that's a scary thing. And all those times that you've confessed your sin and thought you enjoyed forgiveness on the basis of the promises of God meant nothing. You're just as lost as the most terrible sinner on this planet, if so be that the dead rise not and Christ didn't rise. But he also goes on to share another thing, verse 18, where we see that those who have died in Christ are perished. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep, meaning that's a nice way of saying who have died in Christ, are perished. That is, they are gone for good. I don't have to convince you that the death of a loved one is a sad thing. And without the knowledge of the resurrection and the eternal life that is in Christ Jesus, then this is a final goodbye death. And for some who aren't saved, when you go to that funeral, it is a final goodbye. When they aren't in Christ, you have to say goodbye forever. And that's a very empty feeling and a very sad thing. But the promise that we have for those who are in Christ is that there will be a resurrection one day. And we will see them again one day. And so the sorrow that we have is very different to when we are sorrowing over somebody who wasn't in Christ. It says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, when just talking about this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he says, comfort one another with these words. That is such a blessing to know that, you know, we have this promise, which is such a wonderful source, that when we are forced to say goodbye to a loved one, even though that there is sorrow with their departure, we are undergirded with that knowledge of the promise of God that we will see them one day again. And so the sorrow that we have in Christ is a very different sorrow to that of the world. And I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I remember when Linda's father, he got saved a week before he died. And then a few days before he did die, he thought this was the last time he would see us. And he said, well, I guess this is goodbye. And I said, Bob, now that you're saved, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. And his face changed. That was a concept he had never considered before. It is see you later. And that's what it is for each one of us who are in Christ. If one of us passes from this world to the next, we know we will see each other again. But if Christ be raised not from the dead, well then, Paul makes it very clear that this hope is gone. There is no comfort in the death of someone in Christ. In fact, they are perished. There is no coming back. They are gone forever. There is no reunion. There is no seeing them again. And so what he's saying is the doctrine of the resurrection is a vital doctrine, not just for eternity's sake, but even in the way that it influences us in everyday life, that we have that hope of seeing that loved one in Christ again. All that comfort is gone also. But he goes on to say something else about our life, not the ones that have passed, but us as believers who are alive, because he says here that in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If the only hope that we have of Christ is this life, but there's no hope of a resurrection, an eternal life, well then he says, we are of all men most miserable. Now I think we have to clarify that statement a little bit, because there's no doubt that we can't claim this statement like many could. You know, the fact is, to live in this country, to live as a Christian, is a wonderful thing in many ways, compared to what many people have to go through, even in this time. But if you take being a Christian and you put yourself in Iraq at the moment or some of these other places, that changes everything. But for us, it's a lot different. I know for myself, the fact that I am a Christian living in Australia brings many blessings. Even if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, even if there is no hope of an eternity, living as a Christian now in our country is a pretty nice thing. You know, I know that I've had a wonderful family upbringing, and that has been based because my parents based their life on the Word of God. I know that the life that I have, I've based on the Word of God, and I know that has kept me from doing a lot of terrible things that would bring great destruction either to my mind or to my body or to my relationships or my family. It has been a pretty good life. I know Fraser Young says, even if when you're dead and there's nothing else, being a Christian's a pretty good life as it is. And for us, we can say that. But for Paul, who had been beaten and whipped and imprisoned and hated by most people, who had to live that nomadic life and had nothing in this life, for him, he would say, if this is all there is in the Christian life, well, this is a pretty miserable life. He could honestly say that. And there are even many today in our world, in different places and various circumstances, who have to suffer persecution of some sort or isolation in some sort, and they do this simply for the sake of Christ because they name the name of Christ, that if they were to find out that this is all there is, this life, well then they would think, wow, what was the point of doing that? You read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and read how many men and women remain faithful to the Lord's name despite the terrible troubles they went through, despite, for some, the cruel deaths they suffered, and they did it because they believed that there was a resurrection to come. You know, you tell them, no, there's only this life and that's it. They would say, what a waste of time. I should have just said, yes, I deny Christ and live a different life. You know, in the book of Hebrews, talks about the men and women of faith. And it says that they did this, I'll read it to you, others were tortured not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And he goes on to say, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And they were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and torment. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in the dens and caves of the earth. And why did they do this? That they may obtain a better resurrection. They understood that this life isn't all there is, but there is an eternity to come, that they will be resurrected and they will be judged and they will be rewarded for the way that they lived upon this earth. And that's why they were willing to go through what they went through. You know, the Apostle Paul even said here in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, look at verse 30, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought the beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul did what he did because of the resurrection and nothing else. But he knew very well that if there was no resurrection, well then all that he did was pointless. He might as well just eat, drink, and enjoy life to its full because tomorrow or, you know, death comes and that's it. You know, I know there have been many people who find themselves in situations that aren't pleasant. Sometimes they're just downright hard. And they would say, or the world would say to them, that you would be better off and far happier if you just run away from that circumstance and live life to its full. Eat what you want, consume what you want, and drink and live as you want, because you just got one life. You might as well enjoy it to its fullest. But they have chose to remain in that situation because they've chosen holiness instead of happiness. Obedience to God has been more important to them than the temporal pleasures that may be on offer. Because they believe that there is a resurrection. And their hope is in a better resurrection, one where they are resurrected to life and they enjoy the eternal blessings that come from that. And so they have chosen to remain faithful to the Lord instead. And at times, that's the only reason why we would endure the hard and terrible circumstances we go through. It's the knowledge of the resurrection that should have an effect on us in this way. You know, although what Paul and many others have suffered makes most of my troubles seem very insignificant, and I'm happy to acknowledge that, the reality is, though, that if Christ didn't rise, that means that the time that I put into serving the Lord is absolutely pointless. It means that the small persecution that I suffered is meaningless. It means that there's no point trying to live the Christian life. There's no point choosing holiness instead of happiness. If there isn't a resurrection, I might as well just live it up and do as I please and get the most out of life. And isn't that how the world lives? When you take God out of the picture and all you have is what you have now, that's how you live. That is the carnally minded attitude of someone who lives in a world who doesn't believe there's a God who exists. And that is the philosophy of the world. If there's no resurrection, there's not a better life to come. What you have now is all there is, and so you may as well enjoy life to its full. And it doesn't matter if what you want to do is evil or deemed wrong. Who cares what other people say? Just do what you want to do. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, Paul says the same thing. That is the natural response and the most logical response if there is no God and there is no resurrection. Just do what you want. And we might as well stop coming to church. Imagine all the waste of time it is coming on a Sunday to church when you could be using that precious time in your life for something else. When you're dead and there's nothing else. Why bother reading your Bible? Why bother trying to live the holy life? Why restrain the flesh? Just do whatever feels good. Can you see how the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ does affect our everyday life? It affects our belief system, it affects our attitude towards life and towards others as well. It is a significant doctrine. But the fact is, if Christ did rise from the dead, then that should change everything. You know, if the disciples were true and honest eyewitnesses, if they actually did see Jesus in that resurrected state, that means that everything is the opposite to what Paul is saying. It means that what we believe and what we teach and preach is true. Jesus is the Son of God. He did bear our sins on that cross. We are reconciled to God. He has gone to prepare a place and He's coming again. The apostles are true witnesses and they are, what their writings are, the Word of God. We're no longer in our sin. We will see those loved ones who were believers in Christ, we will see them again. We have that hope. We shouldn't just live for today, but we should live for eternity, knowing that there are riches to come. It's worth being whole in, even if it means we have to go without happiness. But the major question I'd like to put to you this morning is, as you consider your attitude to life and the way that you live, Does it show you believe there is a resurrection? We know the difference. Paul has outlined it. If there is no resurrection and that's how you live, this will be your attitude. But if you are living with the knowledge and faith that there is a resurrection, this will be your attitude. But as you look at your life, or as others study your life, do they see you as someone who lives with that firm belief that there is a resurrection to come? Do you live for the present? Or do you live for the eternal? Do you choose happiness? Or do you choose holiness if you have to choose between the one? Does your life reveal you believe there's a resurrection? You see, the knowledge of this will change you. You know, turn to the last few verses, verse 58 of this chapter. It is the last verse. Paul says this. He says, therefore. Now the saying is, if you see the word therefore, you look at the previous verses to see what it's there for. All right? And when he says therefore, he has just been declaring that Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's shown us all the wonderful things that will come because of that in our resurrected body. And he says, therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, because there is a resurrection and there is eternal life, you should be steadfast and unmovable in what you believe. I know what people are saying, but I know what God says, and I'm going to stand firm on this. And he says, because of this, you should be abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to serve him with all my heart and trust his promises, because I know that my labor is not in vain. There is better things to come. And knowing what we do is not pointless, but there are eternal rewards, and there is more to life than what we see, should make all the difference to us. It should affect us in our everyday life. You know, will resisting those temptations to quit the Christian life, as sometimes they come, those temptations, will it be worth remaining steadfast and unmovable? God says it will be. Will being that godly leader of your family and that loving husband be worth it? God says it will be. Will being that faithful wife and mother to your children be worth it? God says it will be. Will it be worth choosing holiness above all things? Will it be worth setting aside those times that you could be doing what you want, but serving the Lord instead in some ministry be worth it? God says it will be. And it all hinges on one reality, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because he rose, we will rise. And he goes on to tell us the magnificence of that resurrection, and what it will be like, and what our body will be like as well. And if you can read this, that Jesus rose, I will rise, and he will has all this for eternity planned for me, yet still reject and choose to live how you want to live, it makes me wonder if you're... Well, obviously, that reality of the resurrection hasn't changed your life. It should have that influence. It's not enough to just know that we'll rise. It should change us in our attitude and in our actions. Otherwise, we, although have that knowledge, we are just still thinking like the world, those who don't believe there is a God and there is no resurrection. I trust that your mindset is one of that is spiritually minded rather than carnally minded, as you stop and consider what God says about our future. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that, Lord, this world isn't all there is. Lord, we forget that so easily. We begin to think like the world so quickly. Help us, dear Father, to set our affections on things above and not on things on this world, and let it change us in what we consider to be the most important things in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.